Unbelievable. It's taken forever. I'm broadcasting to all different places today. I'm broadcasting to Facebook. I'm broadcasting to YouTube. I'm broadcasting to Periscope and Twitch and my website. And I'm also trying out to see how it works through something else. Proprietary, can't tell you. Secret. I'm going to give a couple of disclaimers in this show. All right? Because this is going to be one for the one for the ages. I'm a little riled up today. So it's going to be a different show. So you guys should probably share it out. I don't have any official advertisers set for today, so I'm okay. I can be honest and I can be truthful, and I'm going to vent about the industry and why it sucks and why people are scumbags. We're not scumbags. I got to take that back. But just why people are not great at, you know, being good, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. So if you can, make sure you share this video out. I'm going to get started. Here's my intro right now. Freight broker. Freight broker. Mess that one up. Whatever. Oh my God. I tell you, I'm like ready for bed already. Today is January 29th, 2020. Make sure you always put 2020 on contracts that you sign. Here's a legal bit for you. It is 2:01. It's Wednesday. Not quite Thursday, not quite Friday. Also, I wish it was so I could just go to sleep. Tomorrow I'm driving to Atlanta. I'm going to go be with OTR and the folks over there on Friday for their new trucking new year or something like that. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited to be there and see everybody and meet all the folks over at OTR. So I'm super excited about that. Woo-hoo! All right. So I'm going to run through news pretty quick, and then I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to go to bed because I don't know what's going on. I'm in a rut today. I'm not sure. I started here. Here's some just side stuff. So I have like high anxiety from writing and doing all that stuff. Plus my body constantly aches from beating it up while weightlifting. So I decided after reading a bunch of different forums and a bunch of different comments and because of anxiety and anger issues and all that stuff, I decided to try the CBD gummies. And I'm not a big fan of any of that kind of stuff, to be honest, but I tried it. And 2 days ago I tried it. Awesome. Worked. It was great. I mellowed right out. Yesterday, I, continued doing the recommended dose and I was fine. And then this morning, I'm on the phone call that I'm going to discuss later with an arrogant a-hole. I already marked this explicit, so I'm probably going to swear in this one. But so I'm on the phone call with this dude and I went and took a whole thing. I didn't even, you know, portion it out. So, of course, it's having the effect of making me want to go to sleep. But I'm still pretty annoyed, so it's not doing its damn job. But here's an article that I wrote, but I'm not putting it out until tomorrow morning. A woman is accused. This is breaking news, by the way. I think I'm the only one that picked it up besides a local news station. But a woman is accused of stealing over $100,000 from a Pennsylvania trucking company. A PA woman was charged with forgery, theft by unlawful taking, unlawful use of the computer, and tampering with records related to the alleged theft of more than $100,000 from a PA-based trucking company, M&D Trucking. According to reporting by local news Fox 43, M&D Trucking co-owners Mark and Dennis contacted police after Landy, who's the lady's name, I forgot to write her first name down, who had retired 4 years ago, returned to the trucking company because they needed her to unlock their system so they could access financial records because they had questions. After accessing the system and researching time card and payroll records, police say Landy found that Garland had been falsifying her time card to make it appear that she had been working more hours per week than she actually have. She gave herself a raise from $19 to $22 an hour. She was submitting extra hours every week, and she also wrote checks to herself out of the business bank account, altering documents saying who the payments were actually going to. Big fraudster right there. And she's going to get it handed to her. I'm surprised that she went back. They called her 4 years after she retired to unlock the system. I'm surprised she went back. It's pretty crazy. Here's a new one. And it just came out through Business Insider. You got to be one of their BI Prime members, I think, to actually read the article. But Buzzy, their title says, Buzzy Logistics Tech Startup Next Trucking lays off 70 amid restructuring and trade tensions. Isn't that crazy? Because they were at FreightWave Chicago talking about how they're going to expand and they're launching on the East Coast and they're going to do all this great stuff. And so they went from 370 employees to 300 employees, and it all has to do with funding. And it's a wonder to me why freight tech startups or any tech startup or anybody at all would go out and hire people. This is a message directly to somebody. Why they'd go out and hire people without having the funds to actually pay them. Question. It kind of upsets people, especially people that can't talk about it. I don't know who those people are. But according to Business Insider in the article, I don't know. So they're laying off people. It's a pretty interesting concept, though. If you ever look, if you want to peruse some interesting reading material, go check out the story of Next Trucking and how they're building up their port drayage systems and using drop yards and all that stuff, which is kind of a good segue into this other story that FreightWaves published today or yesterday, whenever they did, about Batten Trucking. And this is, I don't know, again, people that don't drive write articles. It doesn't make any sense. But funding secured, Batten Trucking takes aim at driver detention. So apparently this company has gone out and it's raised a Series A funding of like, I don't know, $3 million or something like that. And they're developing a program where, get this, and it's going to sound extremely familiar, especially if you know what this voice is.
Hey, they copied my idea.
But so this company, Batten Trucking, has basically said, hey, we can reduce driver detention by just building a very program very similar to Amazon's Relay program. So basically, they are going to have drop locations for trailers. They provide the trailers and they move freight on using contractors, or, you know, and so they're moving everything as power only. It's, to me, it's not really a novel concept because Amazon has already done it and mastered it. To say it's a pioneer and to say it reduces driver detention, yeah, it does, because drivers don't have to wait to pick up and deliver loads. Instead, what it's going to do is going to drive driver rates down, because in my experience of moving power only, the lane rates are like what it actually costs to move a power only trailer is definitely less than what it is to move a dry van. Because I guess we figure you don't have the assets. We're the ones who own the assets, so it's cheaper. So we pay cheaper. And as a broker, I've always paid cheaper on power-only moves. I don't care if it's a stack of chassis that you need to strap, chain, bind, and hate to move, or if it's a drayage container. I've always paid less. And so, I mean, they're doing all the same stuff. They're going to use software that geotags a truck once it enters a zone. They're going to try to use audit. This is a kicker, though. They're going to try to use either, I think it said, either electric vehicles or automated vehicles to get the trailers that are scheduled for pickup to be picked up and to reposition those trailers. So it's kind of interesting, but at the same time, it's not really an original idea. It's something that
Amazon
has kind of done and mastered and is now taking over the entire Northeast, pretty much everywhere. So we'll see. When people say it takes aim at driver detention, it's not taking aim at driver detention. All it's going to do is further screw over the rates, because rates are going to go down because now they don't have to pay for the assets, the trailer, because the company, the trucking company, Batten Trucking or whatever, will own that trailer, will own those assets. So that's an interesting story. So you can go over to FreightWaves and read that story if you want. Anyone check out the new Border Watch section that I have on my website, freightbrokerlive.com. So it's under the news tab. So under news, I've got trucking news, trucking crime, lawsuits, and then Border Watch. And every week, I'm just writing about all the random drugs and content and people and money and everything that's pulled in from the border. So Yesterday in the Rio Grande Valley, border agents seized nearly 100 pounds of marijuana in just 5 hours, and it was in four different shipments. It was crazy. It was crazy. You know, last week alone, $31 million worth of drugs. $31 million of drugs. Stupid. I was on a free trial for one of the streaming things, and I used up my minutes after like two, whatever. So I don't know if it worked. But yeah, so last week, $31 million. The majority of it was meth. You know, I wrote the article about the meth that was found in the Suburban's gas tank and all that stuff. So it is what it is. It's just stupid. I'm not even going to talk too much about news. So yesterday, I made a comment about the UCR opening up. Or the enforcement date being set for May 1st. They voted on it. That's a firm date. So if you haven't filed your UCR, do not worry. It's super easy to do. You just go to UCR.gov. Or if you're a gullible person that's not tech savvy and you want to use a service to do it, there's a bunch of services out there that'll do your filings for you and charge you a huge markup for it. And if you're lucky, you'll actually choose one that hasn't been fined by the FTC. All right. I gotta get going. I got to talk about this. So, man. So, I've been doing some investigative journalism. And I'm not a journalist, so of course. And because I'm passionate about trucking, I'm passionate about logistics, I get mad very easily, especially when I find out that people are not being honest or above board. Anyway, so I find all these different things and all these different programs and companies and all this that I want to survey, and I want to figure out whether they're honest or legit, you know. So I'm part of, as most of you guys know, you've seen my posts in probably 100 different Facebook groups. One of the groups I'm in is truckers.com or Trucker Lives Matter or something like that. Great group. The people that are in it are good. It's a moderated group with admin posting privileges only. Now, the group says it's a spinoff of the Small Business and Transportation Coalition. So this is truckers.com is apparently a DBA, which I can't find a DBA on file in the state of Florida, but it's apparently a DBA for the Small Business and Transportation Coalition. I'm trying to be good here. So the Small Business and Transportation Solution or Coalition company, or they are registered 503C6. So essentially they're a league is what they like to call themselves. They are a lobbying lead. They say that they are for the you can go to their website and look it up. But basically they say they're for ethical transparency, you know, honesty, looking out for the small carriers and all that stuff. Great, right? Sounds awesome. They're 15,000 members strong, according to their executive president, James Lamb, who I had a privilege of speaking with for an hour this morning. You know, I called him just to get some insight on why he set up the company and everything else. So let me get a little bit of background. James Lamb was I don't know what he was, to be honest. He did something with New York State Department of Transportation. At one time, he says he was an inspector. The other time, he says he's with Consumer Affairs. It's all kind of up in the air. But at any rate, he did that for a little bit. He started a bunch of different companies that I found. He had DOT authority, has UCR authority, has, you know, some other filing related companies. He's been a part of a couple of different brokerages. He's got a freight broker school. He's got all these different programs that he does. And always has been, you know, like he said to me, he always has invested his time for free in these associations. Before, he had some association of brokers and agents or something like that, which just disappeared off the face of the earth. And then, or he says it merged into the SBTC, which is fine. If it did, I don't care. The state doesn't show it, but whatever. The problem that I have is, and so I'm going to read this. I think I have it open. If not, I may have to move the microphone over to the other side. Okay, so I'm going to read something. Oh, I forgot one other story about tolls. Whatever. So I'm going to read something real quick. In October of 2016, a federal judge granted the FTC's request for a preliminary injunction against two people and their companies for allegedly tricking small commercial trucking businesses into paying them federal and state motor carrier registrations by impersonating government transportation agencies such as the U.S. Department of Transportation. The FTC alleged DOTAuthority.com, DOTFilings.com, Elixir Enterprises, and JPL Enterprises International violated the FTC Act and the Restore Online Shoppers Confidence Act. Under a 2018 settlement order, the DOT Authority defendants are banned from misrepresenting affiliation with any government entity and from using consumers' billing information to obtain payments without express consent. Okay. Yeah, no, it's not. To answer a question on YouTube, Eddie Oratar said, is the UCR now available? No, it has not been updated. But you'll see sites such as this company, DOTAuthority.com, which is saying you can pre-register, which is pointless because it's the enforcement. It's not even open yet. Something could happen. It's the rule was just voted on yesterday, and it was not even published in the register today. So it's not even the enforcement now is speculation that it's going to start May 1st, but it hasn't even actually started. So I thought I copied this, but apparently I didn't. So I'm going to try to read this from afar. So I bear with me because I have to read it because as I've been told that if I say anything wrong, I'm quickly going to get sued. Whatever. So basically, I called James Lamb this morning, and he's the executive president of the SPTC, the Small Business and Transportation Coalition, the 15,000 member strong coalition of the Brotherhood of Trucking to make trucking great and to stand for truckers' rights and all that. Unfortunately, he's the same James Lamb that owns DOTAuthority.com. And several other companies, UCRAuthority.com and all that stuff. The same James Lamb that the FTC settled with. Now, and I got to give it to him. He didn't pay. It says right in the settlement that his partner company or his affiliated company or his co-defendant, essentially, Elixir or LSI or whatever the company is, that they are the ones who paid the claim. So, again, I'm not saying, and he certainly didn't admit fault. Everyone that's ever read anything he writes knows that he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't admit fault. Settlement doesn't say he did committed fault. The only assumption that could be made is the settlement. When you settle something, you're saying, I mean, that's my opinion. It's fishy, but nonetheless, he didn't pay the settlement. The other co-defendant that he's been in business with for years and years paid the settlement, whatever. I guess he had more money. So I called him this morning and I asked specifically on whether or not, because when I published yesterday about the UCR enforcement date being May 1st, I actually got that from him. And I saw it posted in one of his groups and I researched it and then found that it was actually true and active. And so I published it on my website. I published it during my video. So it got me thinking a little bit. And then I was like, huh. That's how he made a living before with DOTAuthority.com. So I just happened. I hadn't been to the website yet, but I went to DOTAuthority.com. And boom, guess what? The notice was already there. So enforcement's going to begin, pre-register now, all that stuff. Great. So he's a businessman. He's trying to make money. He's helping people do the UCR filings, whatever. He charges $100. Plus, it looks like I think his pricing needs to be updated because our UCR filing rates actually went down this year. They didn't go up. So that's a little bit different. Long story short. So I called him and I said, actually, I got to give a little bit of background. See, I'm trying to be very forthright and very, straightforward. So according to the filing that's going to be filed in the Federal Register, which I'm going to have links for this in the article that I'm going to publish later tonight. And I can't say the link. It's too long. But there's a FMCSA article. So if anyone wants to fact check anything I said, there's an article and I'm reading everything verbatim. So good luck trying to prove me wrong. The FMCSA is essentially, they're filing something with the register to talk about the rate decreases and how much revenue is made and which states get allocated certain money from the UCR. So the Small Business and Transportation Coalition made a comment on the new rulemaking. So according to the FMCSA, and this is verbatim, The comment from the Small Business and Transportation Coalition, SBTC, asserts that since October 1st, 2018, the UCR plan has been collecting fees from interstate carriers under the new registration system. SBTC claims that such collections from intrastate carriers are unlawful and should require refunds that might affect the revenues available for distribution to participating states and for the goods of administrating the UCR agreement. FMCSA does not agree. Whatever. When I talked to Mr. Lamb this morning, he said, I asked him about a lawsuit because I read somewhere a $1 billion lawsuit. So he sued the state of Indiana for processing the UCR payments as well. And he sued them for $1 billion, saying that because they process the fees that, and they weren't legally able to, or some, I don't understand the context of that, but through his lawyer, they sued for $1 billion and it's still in the appeals process from what he told me. And they want the state of Indiana to pay $1 billion out if it's found and give every carrier $700, something like that. My question, all that aside, my question is, how does a transportation association, a transportation coalition that works for the best interests and the integrity, that was one of the words that they use in their description, in the best interests and the integrity of the small carriers, the small, and you would think small, or maybe could be the people that get all these mailings after they file for an authority and they get one mailing that looks like it's from the government. It's got very small print on the bottom and saying this is an official document, but everything else looks like it. Oh, I think you guys could see where I'm going. But how can an association that essentially says, based on the information that I was able to gather from the FMCSA, that they don't believe, at least, let's say, intrastate carriers, that intrastate carriers are not bound by the UCR agreement. Isn't it a conflict of interest for the executive president of such an association to also, having one, been, and I'm not going to say settled because who knows, but isn't it a conflict of interest for the person that runs that organization and has people paying him $50 a year and 15,000 of them doing that reportedly, to be a member of an association that is apparently, through the FMCSA's eyes, fighting for the rights of small carriers, not to pay some stupid UCR fee that doesn't make any damn sense anyway, but instead run a DOT filing service that literally makes profit off of the same UCR filings that they are fighting to abolish? It literally does not make any sense to me at all. I sat there this morning and I was talking to the guy and I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if you guys, he reminded me of talking to the guy last week that wanted the rate transparency law and all that stuff, where it was very hard to get a word in. He kept cutting me off saying I was talking too quick. And my thing is, and I even said, I'm not going to write an article. I said, listen, I want to tell you man to man, you have such a great platform. Do what you're supposed to do and use your platform to make trucking better, you know, but he opted not to do that. I asked him, does he agree with the UCR? His response to me was, yes, there's nothing wrong with the UCR. So, then why do the filings? I asked him about the FTC complaint because, and I'll give, in all fairness, the FTC only went after Mr. James Lamb and all these other DOT authorities, whether or not that what they were doing was legit or not. I mean, it was, but you know, this, the emails and the letters and stuff, I used to get them. They looked, you know, I still get them in the emails where it's from compliance officer. You have 3 days to file your authority, blah, 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 or you will be revoked and get prison time. Not to say those are his company. I'm not saying those are his company, but the FTC said, hey, you know, we think it is. Now, the only reason the FTC opened an investigation, from what I can gather and from what I understand, I align with James Lamb on this. It's because he was a burden to the FMCSA. He kept filing and doing all these frivolous lawsuits over and over, things like he's got a current one where it's defund the FMCSA. Well, I agree with what he's saying and the principles about it, publishing it every single day and doing, you know, interviews or making stupid videos or talking about random stuff or flooding the thing with the impeachment bullcrap doesn't actually do anything to get the point across. Doesn't make anyone take you more seriously. So I decided, so I talked to him and I didn't get anywhere. The only thing I got is that if I print anything that isn't accurate, I'm going to get sued. Well, I'll tell you what's accurate, because then, you know, the more I talked about it, the more I started getting ticked off. Whoa, this isn't the right one. This is my bills that I have to pay. Hold on. Let's go to this over here. So I don't know if you guys know what these are, but because SBTC is a federally they've been approved as a 501c6 enterprise. Their tax returns are all available for delay or for download. There's a bunch of other regulations and stuff that I wasn't able to get, but I just want to spit out some numbers because he probably does have the membership, he said. So his total contributions, which is, look, if you see here, well, you can't see, but this is revenue, and this is part one where it says contributions, gifts, grants, and similar accounts received. In 2015, he had 153,000 and change. In 2017, because he didn't have one for 16 that I could find, was 447,000. And in 2018, it was 304,428. Now, he's not drawing a paycheck or anything through this, which is fine. So because I am such a adamant researcher and someone that likes to figure out every single possible thing, and then I'm like, huh, I wonder how hard it would be to start a nonprofit. So I start looking up the guidelines of nonprofits, specifically solicitations and contribution regulations in the state of Florida. Did you know that any nonprofit, whether you're a 501c1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, or even doesn't matter if there's 100, did you know that any one that processes over $40,000 in memberships, in contributions, I'm sorry, is required to file and receive a solicitors and contributions permit through the state of Florida? Just another one of those frivolous things where they got to pay a little bit of money and they get some permit that means shit anyway. But nonetheless, guess who didn't file? So guess who's getting a letter from the state of Florida? But it's just because I called to inquire. So then I started looking into the previous nonprofit that he had. It was the Association of Brokers and Agents or something like that. Again, same kind of association. So I was curious as to why that one quit and it stopped. He said something about the name, that he wanted to transition just from brokerage to be the Small Business and Transportation, to be an all-inclusive club. So whether you're a shipper, trucking company, or anybody, he wanted to make sure that everything was above board there. Now, I'm not going to go into the taxes. I'm not going to go into any of that. It's all public record. You're welcome to do it. The one thing I could see is the company wasn't exited properly in the state of Florida. But whatever. I guess the key here and the thing that pisses me off is it goes the same as freight broker schools and training programs and all these other scam things out there. Not to say this is a scam. See, I'm really covering my ass on this conversation. But all these other, you know, programs outside of this one that are scams and run by boneheads that shouldn't be doing anything, all those programs, they all skirt the fine line. You know what I mean? And as Mike Timmy on Facebook just said, the business is dying. I shared this in Black Smoke Matters, the group on Facebook. If you guys are watching, in my conversation today, he shouted, all right, I'm back. Sorry about that. So here's the thing is I love trucking. I love the business. You know, I was talking to Wayne Campbell yesterday and we were just talking about something different. And I love trucking through and through. You know, I love the industry. I love driving. I love trucking movies. I want my kids love trucks. I love this business. And unfortunately, until we figure out who is actually, because there's nobody that stands for the little guy, like truly, honestly stands for the little guy in trucking, the independent owner operators. Hell, and I know you guys hate brokers, but the independent brokers as well. You know, the small, you know, less than $10 million brokers, the guys that are out there working every day to provide honorable livings to the carriers that they work with. There's nobody out there that actually speaks for me. And that's what I told James Lamb this morning is I said, you know, I can't go to the ATA. They're not really my fit. Oh, IDA. Nope. Don't have a CDL. That doesn't fit. Plus a lot of the values and the things, they just don't align with what my values are. TIA, great organization, just doesn't, again, align with what my values are as it relates to trucking. So I looked for the only other one that I could think of, and the one that has 15,000 members. And I get on the page, and it's inundated with crap about impeachment and politics this and politics that. And I stay away from politics. You guys know that. I'll give full disclosure. I am about as Tea Party conservative, gun-toting, chewing my lip Republican that you're ever going to meet. But I keep it out of the videos, and I do it on purpose because I don't want to lose people that like that or that are opposing that. Especially now with social media, everybody's super political and stupid and whatever. But the fact is, we need a voice, guys. You know what? So I did. I extended. I went a little bit further, and I got a little bit personal with Mr. James Lamb this morning. And I said to him, I said, listen, you know your name in the industry is not like the best, because you Google SBTC, and on the first page it shows up the FTC suit. You know, you search his name, it shows it up. So every single article, every single position, everything is always going to have that connotation to it. It's always going to have that connection. So I said, why don't you step away? Let someone else take the helm. Someone that you can be a board member and hold on to your, I don't know what you call it, your need to be in control. But why don't you step away and let someone actually use the podium to actually try to do something, you know? And he said, no, he'll never step away. He said, what, are you going to try to start your own organization to compete with me? Fuck no, I'm not going to try to compete with anybody. I'm myself. I don't care. I'm not a politician. I'm not polished enough. Plus, I'm a hothead. If I get some politician that says something stupid to me, I'm going to lose my temper. So I'm not that kind of guy, but I'm going to get on these videos and I'm going to talk about stuff all the time. And if I've said anything that anybody thinks is untrue and they want to file some stupid ass lawsuit, make sure you file it to me in my name personally, because this video is my name personally. Because then, you know what my first job, what the job that I wanted was? Like the first ever job that I wanted to be a lawyer. So you file it in my personal name, boy, I'm going pro se and I'm going to sue the crap out of whoever tries to do it. But whatever. This is the problem, guys. We need to figure it out. Figure out trucking. You know, we can complain about rates. We can complain about politics. We can complain about tariffs. We can complain about ELDs. We can complain about hours of service. We can complain about tolls. That's a new thing that just came out by ATRI this morning. Who knows if it's factual? But ATRI just, you know, put out this research thing about tolls this morning, saying that tolls in the United States last year collected $14.7 billion. And how much was reinvested in the actual toll roads and stuff. And I think it was 55% of that money was shipped out elsewhere. There's not enough people that actually care about the industry. You know, there's just not. There's just not a lot of people. And there's people that I think have good intentions. I don't think James Lamb is out there to be awful. You know, I think he has the helm of the SBTC because he cares about trucking one way or the other, or he wants to get his name into politics and can't for whatever reason. But I think he cares about the industry. But the problem is that's what I asked him. I said, why don't you just step away and allow someone else to take the helm and be the new face of the industry? So that way And when something does come out, it's not tarnished or it's not affiliated with it. Because think about the dispatching thing he wrote years ago. He wrote this thing about how dispatchers now are taking advantage of not having a broker bond. Incredibly factual. It can be debated either way because it goes off of the definition of what bona fide means, whatever. But it's a very good article until you figure out who it's read by or written by. And as soon as you find out who has written it, then it no longer holds any clout. And I've seen that used in arguments several times, and I've seen the reference to the author, and then the discussion's over. The same thing, I think, happens with the bill. And unfortunately, it may be completely out of his control. It could be because the FTC, you know, decided to, you know, sue him. And of course, one little guy can't take on the government. He can't keep paying it. So they may have been forced to settle the claim. But nonetheless, at that point, once your name's tarnished, you should back out. It's my personal opinion, you know, and unfortunately, you know, talking to him on the phone, he said to beware. Because there's a girl in Atlanta that has said bad things about him and said, you know, all untrue things and things not based on facts. So he's filing a massive lawsuit against her, and I should be able to hear about it by the end of the week. Cool. I mean, you know, and I said, who, you know, he's like, she personally attacked me. And I said, all right, so who are you suing on behalf? Are you suing on behalf of the SBTC or are you suing on behalf of Mr. James Lamb? Because if you're personally attacked, you better not be using the associations, the nonprofits' money to pay for an attorney to sue. I'm not a member of that organization, but here's another special privilege of anyone that is a member of that organization. You are fully able to ask for accountability for every single dollar of any nonprofit, and they have to show you. So anyone that's in there that wants to see where the money's going, if it's all going to rich fat cat lawyers that are filing all these crazy lawsuits that are never going to have an end game, then maybe. Or are they sitting on advertising? I saw one tax return. He said it costs $8,000 to host a website. I can tell you it doesn't cost $8,000 to host a website. And I've seen his website. Tell me if that's an $8,000 website. What year was that? Let me see if I can find that on the expenses. It doesn't even matter. It's just so wrong. Like, no matter which way you look at it, it's just wrong. This is the thing about nonprofits, is their tax returns and everything are fully open and public, so anybody can have them. You know what I mean? And then the thing about nonprofits is they have to open up their books. Did you know, according to James Lamb, he is the sole employee, from what he told me today, he is the sole employee and sole board member, and yet he does have advisors that advise him on the status of transportation, because he doesn't drive a truck. The only thing he was a DOT inspector. He wasn't a truck driver. He did make mention that I can Google and find a video of him climbing in and out of trucks. Okay. But, you know, that's... But he mentioned, you know, previously that he doesn't have board members, that he's not required to have board members. I differ in that opinion. Unfortunately, the state of Florida is extremely backlogged, so I was unable to get confirmation by the time I made this video from them to try to get confirmation on whether or not a nonprofit needs to have board members, because he maintains that you don't, which you would think that every board would have board members, or every nonprofit would have board members, people that decide what to go after, especially if they have membership, especially if they have 15,000 memberships that are each paying $50 a month or $50 a year, whatever the rate is. That's $450,000 a year, bro. You know, if there's actually that many members. I don't know. Let's see what some of these comments are. Mike Timmy on Facebook said, I need the best quote, need your cheapest rate. Yeah. Mike asked, will I sing my intro again? Maybe. Who knows? Franz Harden on YouTube said, I'm a bit heartbroken because I don't know if I could watch this nasty guy at the impeachment hearings. Well, you haven't been a faithful follower, so whatever. Ryan Hack on Facebook said, there's a small uptick over the holidays, but now it's right back to the same old rates. That's true. And they're going low. Mike Timmy on Facebook said, yep, I remember I used to. Oh, you guys are having a conversation between each other. All right, let me scroll back up. It's just sad. You know what I mean? Because I was honest. I was honest with him and I was transparent. And I said, listen, if you actually care about the industry, use your platform by getting someone else to actually front, be the front of the SBTC. You know, use your platform. Get somebody else that doesn't have a bad name in the industry. You know, get somebody else that isn't hired. He's like, are you trying to do this? Are you trying to start your own association? Nope, I don't care. I make videos to complain about stuff. One, I have stage fright, believe it or not. I make videos and talk to myself. And there's 50 of you watching, but normally I'm just talking to myself. But I'm not that guy. I want to just sit and voice my concerns with the industry, and that's why I make these videos, and that's why I do all this stuff. Franz Harden said, "Nasty guy trying to intimidate the little guy into not suing him." I don't. He could sue me if he wants. It's not going to do him any good. One, I'm not super rich anymore because I pretty much gave up being a broker to make these stupid ass videos. And secondly, name me personally, because then I'm going to whoop your ass in court, bud, with all your fancy lawyers. And I'm going to ask for a full accountability of every single dime that you've ever received with any nonprofit or anything. That's with anybody, because I think there should be transparency. You know, any member is able to get that kind of transparency. So if I'm brought in and if people try to discredit me for being honest, then we'll see what that happens. We'll see. Mike Timmy on Facebook said he's always gotten those letters in the mail. David said something. I'm not saying that. Ryan Hack said the whole situation sounds like a crook. It's kind of sad, man. It really is sad. So there's a couple of questions. Fran said, excuse you, not my fault. Once you joined Freight Naps, you only made 3 videos in 2 months, lazy streamer. Well, I am not with Freightwaves, Fran, so maybe you should get with the picture here, buddy. Because I'm not with them anymore. I'm back. See how I'm in my house and I got all the medals and the Red Sox gear in the back and I'm back being opinionated? You can't get that at Freightwaves. You can't be opinionated. You got to state fact. Or no, you can't even state facts. You got to let other people state facts is what I was told. Good company, though. Love those guys over there and their product. All right, let's see. Oh, God. Mike Timmy said, seems like it. Shit needs to change. It does. You guys see, I wrote that article yesterday from the press release from C.H. Robinson where they were down 40 in the fourth quarter in Q4. They were down 46.5% in net revenue. That is a huge loss. I think right before I made this, Knight Swift just put out their revenue. So I don't know what it is yet. I'm sure you can go to FreightWaves and find it. But go to Yahoo Business, it's going to show up, or just type Knight Swift and they probably have their earning projections. And I think another big trucking company is doing it too. But C.H. Robinson to show that much, because they're non-asset based. Yeah, well, they have the ocean side and stuff like that, but they were down across all lanes. So international was down, LTL was down, truckload was down, special projects were down, everybody was down. It's crazy, crazy, man. Economy is down. Mike Timmy on Facebook said, economy is down, tariffs, Chinese New Year. Yeah. I think they blamed it on tariffs, too. That's what Next Trucking is blamed. Hey, but our call lines are active. If you guys want to call in and vent, go for it. 914-803-4008. I will answer you, and yes, you'll be live on the air. I do not have a call screener. Ryan Hack said, do you get that mega carriers? I think you meant to say, do you think that we'll get mega carriers upping their own prices? No, because I don't think mega carriers have high prices right now, too. A lot of them went out because their customers all pulled the project freight and the RFPs and all that stuff. They picked it all out. You know? But Freight Pro said, FreightWaves never picked up on that Next Trucking layoff story. It literally just came out right before. It was an exclusive with Business Insider. It wasn't my story. But, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't my story. And I'm sure they're going to write it because they, you know, Next Trucking demoed at Chicago. So they have more. That's why I'm talking about it. I'll write a little story and say, oh, a tech company laid off. It's just kind of ironic considering everything. You know, a tech company lays off people that they hired because they don't have money. Kind of sounds eerily familiar. But There was a question. Do you think? Yeah. So I don't think megas are going to up their own prices yet because freight's low. Everyone's trying to get as much money as they can, but nobody is making anything right now. You know, that's kind of the problem. Nobody's making money right now. Mike Timmy on Facebook said, send me a jacket with your logo. I don't know who you're talking to. I got to get more advertisers in here and all that stuff before I can do all that. I'm broke. Someone said, keep wearing the same shirt. No, it's because I only have like 6 shirts because I keep growing and getting bigger. But eventually, someday, you know, once I start making more money and able to monetize it, but maybe I won't if I keep doing all this crap. Franz Hayden on YouTube said margins are just going to keep going down due to more competition and technology. Not really. I mean, that's one viewpoint, and some people believe that. I don't think so. I think rates are going to come up. Technology is going to help brokers. No matter which way you look at it, it's going to help carriers. It's going to help brokers. You know, it's going to happen. So the only problem is we have to, no, I'm not even called in my show. It just disconnected. Wonderful. Whatever. Whatever. I'll just leave that pause. But yeah, it's, so the phone system does not work, guys. So do not call into the phone system. So let me take that down. I swear it's always something. I'm probably just going to shit can this phone system because it doesn't really work well. All right, but Mike Timmy said, I'd send you shirts, but I don't wear extra, 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 extra large. Yeah. I have shirts. I've got other stuff. See, the problem is when I went over to Freight Waves, I tried to get all professional, and I bought button-ups and all that stuff, and I actually hate wearing button-ups, like, really bad. They annoy the crap out of me. I'm a T-shirt guy, so I have a bunch of those and just regular T-shirts, but I like T-shirts. I'm trying to get all my sponsors to send me T-shirts. Because next, as of Monday, it shows a little bit different at that point. I have advertising. I've got to have a bunch of awesome interviews scheduled. So I'm trying to get all the opinion out now until all those things are finalized. Fran said more transparency is bad for rates. I don't know what you mean. Because more transparency is not bad for rates at all. No matter which way you look, because if a carrier understands how much a broker makes in a little perspective of it, if a carrier understands how much a broker makes, then they're going to stop thinking that brokers all make 40 or 50% profits on every single load. Like the guy Jeff from last week, that's his thing, is he thinks brokers are just continuously making money. And as I asked him in the show, I said, hey, what happens if a broker has to take a loss on his load? He said, nope. Mike Timmy said, are you going to move the show from your mom's basement? I wish this was in my mom's basement. She has a massive house. It's probably cooler there, too. I'm back in stupid sunny Florida. This is my living room. So, but because I'm so big and my desk is so big and the actual working desk is over here, it's kind of got to do what you got to do. But yeah, buddy, you said if I come to SoCal, hit you up, bro. Yeah, that probably is not happening. California's hot too. I used to live in Northern California years ago. Anyway, but yeah, so here's a key takeaway from this episode, because I'm going to wrap it up so I can go to sleep. Key takeaway is if you start a nonprofit to work for the betterment of a carrier, make sure you don't own a company that literally isn't for the benefit of carriers. You know, that's kind of my rationale there. Hold on, I'm reading a comment. Ryan Hack on Facebook asked, as a broker, do you see a negative impact from all these new brokers getting into the game? I keep seeing a lot of newer brokers jumping into my lane. Seems like they always try to come at a laughable rate, which indicates to me they are lowballing on their part in order to win the contract. Is that often the case? You know what? I think it is. No, I don't think they're lowballing. I don't think they know how to broker. That's a problem. I'm one of the guys, like I sat in Freight Waves and I was talking to one guy that worked for some big mega brokerage, and he was a big rock star at the brokerage. And then he came over there to be their market expert in brokerage. And we're sitting there talking about rates and how we quote. And he's talking about how he does stuff, and I'm talking about how I do stuff. And then he had a realization after a little bit. because his job as a company employee was to make as much profit as you know, that he could for that company. My job as an independent agent, as me being my own boss, is I just want to make money. I don't care. So I developed, you know, a knack for just moving freight at a volume pace, meaning I don't care. I don't argue the rates. I book it for lower than what the competition does. Like, for example, I was having a conversation last night at 10 o'clock with a potential customer. She's probably watching this late now or on replay. She used to be an agent. Now she works for some big NVOCC or something, but they do a tremendous amount of shipping. They currently use TQL and Matson or some other companies to do their stuff. I said, you need to give me that freight. One, because I know I could beat all that business. And secondly, because I need it, because everybody's slow as shit right now and I need to make money. But that's kind of, you know, I mostly just think people don't understand that. Fran said, didn't I move into the son's room? No, because that room, I don't know. I'm in Florida, so we all have ranch houses. That's what everybody has. And so basically the air conditioning units in the garage over here, because we got a big two-car garage where I keep the motorcycles, the Harleys, or the Harley, and then all the useless crap, like a hurricane generator that we never had to use. Knock on wood, we're not going to have to. Ride on lawnmower because it's too damn hot here to push a lawnmower, even though my yard is pretty damn small. I bought a ride on lawnmower because it's too hot to mow the lawn in Florida. Again, keep it in mind, I'm 300 pounds. I'm a big dude. So I don't like, you know, doing any of that. But for some reason, the air doesn't get to that back room. It gets to the other kid's room on the other side back here. It doesn't get to that room. So around this time in the afternoon, it gets hot as shit in there. Excuse the terminology. I'm sorry if you don't like me swearing, but whatever. So no, I kicked them out of the living room. The living room is now my massive office, which works because I have so many different companies, especially in tax season. I'm trying to fix all the books for each and every single company that I own and try to figure out which one's made money, which one's lost, plus the W-2 income from my wife. And it's just I hate doing taxes. So I've got that all spread out all over the floor and all that stuff like normal. All right. Any other freight related questions? You know, I tried to cover everything. My only advice to anybody, if you're watching this and you're thinking about joining an association so you can, I don't know, get your voice heard. Make sure you do your due diligence on what associations that you actually join, because there's some out there that they don't hold your best interests in mind. If they're out there to make a profit as a nonprofit, then you have a problem, you know? And I mean, in the case of the SBTC, the executive president of that company has petitioned, according to the FMCSA, like I said, you know, they're writing comments saying that intrastate carriers are unlawful and should require refunds. Again, according to the FMCSA, that's what the FMCSA says the SBTC does. But yet the owner and sole proprietor of the nonprofit is also the owner and sole proprietor, from what I could tell, of a company that literally services the things that they are trying to abolish. It doesn't even make any sense at all to me. It's mind blowing. But what can you do, right? I can't do anything about it. I just gotta sit and vent and be quiet and keep my mind shut and all that stuff. Roger Harding on Facebook said, Loves has got a new scam. You go in for a PM and they tell you they got everything. And then when they're done, they tell you they didn't have the regular filters and they have to charge you for premium filters. Really? That's crazy. I'll look into that because that's nuts. Especially someone get them on camera doing that. I'll publish it. That would be crazy. Freight Pro on YouTube said Freight Waves only reports at companies that... No, I'm not doing that. Stop it. But it is real. You should get your news. The only resource that I think anybody should get their news from is freightbrokerlive.com, because views help me to get advertisers. Advertisers help me to be able to do it full time. Once I do something full time, I'm able to put more time into it, which gets me more advertisers, which then means I get to hire actual journalists and actual talent and travel a lot more to conventions and do all that stuff. You know, someone messaged me yesterday and they said, what are you going to do? Because you piss all these people off on your videos. What are you going to do if you see them at a convention? And I say, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm a hothead. Let him say the wrong thing. I don't care. I always bring enough for bail money. I am kidding. That's not true. But I don't care. You know, I'm not. That's my one of my faults is I enjoy a challenge. So if I get sued, I answer lawsuits. I've been sued before and I've sued a shit ton of people. And as a business owner, you have to. And I've done pretty well. You know, simple search will find that. David Quacklebaum on I don't know if that's how you say your name. I apologize. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at your last name. But anyway, David on Facebook said, I wonder where all that money's going. Well, that's anyone that's a member of that group has the full capabilities of going in and saying, hey, you, I am a member. I am a paid member. I want to see your books. And I believe in the state of Florida, I could be wrong, but I believe in the state of Florida, they have 10 days to open their books to you. I could be wrong on that, so don't mark my words. But if they don't do that, then you just file, you know, with the charity board and you file all sorts of complaints about it, you know, and then it will do something. But again, as I was saying to him, it's what can you do? The only thing I can do as someone that actually cares about the industry is to just say stuff. I'm not trying to expose anybody. It's common sense. You can look it up. He is the most vocal figure. He's the only figure involved with SBTC because he doesn't allow anyone to post on his page. It's only him. You can't post. You can only receive comments on the truckers.com Facebook page. Trucker Lives Matter says he's got 25,000 members on there, but it's only posted by him. And it's mostly the impeachment bullshit right now anyway, which is just garbage. And I don't even want to read it or watch it or listen to it or talk about it. The whole thing is stupid. But it's just, it is what it is. You know, David said you're not a member. Yeah. Sorry to hear that. It is. It sucks, you know, because he has a great platform. That's what I told him on the phone. Because SBTC has a great platform, and if it truly has 50, I mean, his tax, you know, the tax reports for it, his 2018 tax report says $304,000. The problem that I have is I realize what kind of capabilities I could do if I had $300,000 to go and lobby to try to make the trucking industry better. And I realized what I could do if I had those kind of resources. And then I'm like, why is, and especially on the social media platform. I mean, hell, look what I do just by having 2,000 likes on Facebook and then, and too much spare time and create a website. You know what I mean? That's all it takes. If you have money to actually to do something and to get stuff, I don't know, man. I don't know why it's not done. You know, I'm not talking about padding politicians' pockets. I'm talking about actually trying to be a, oh God, what's a responsible representative for trucking? As I said, maybe it's a generation thing. I'm a little bit younger than him. So maybe it's just a generational thing. So maybe we have to wait until someone, you know, some millennial, as much as I hate that word, stands up and says, hey, listen, this sucks. And let's create a real program that makes it better. And while we're at it, let's abolish dispatch services that don't have bonds. Let's get rid of every single freight broker boot camp crap. Not get rid of them. I'm sorry. Just make them licensed. You can't have a CDL school if you're licensed. So why can you have some other bonehead teaching you some, you know, how to be a broker, how to start a trucking company? Those are the things they should work on. In my opinion, but again, opinions are like a-holes. Everyone's got one, you know, and unfortunately, my audience is you guys, and that's it. I'll be honest, though. After talking to him, I was like, oh, we're freaking doomed. We're never getting anywhere, and I almost filed for a nonprofit myself and called it the Trucking Accountability Association or something like that, you know? TA. That's what it'd be called, TA, Trucking Accountability Association. Freight Pro said he bookmarked me for the news. You should. Everybody should do that. You should go to freightbrokerlive.com and bookmark that son of a bitch. You'll also see down in the lower, oh God, what is it? The lower right-hand corner of the page, it's got a little red bell. If you accept that bell, I will send push notifications out when I have breaking news, which I don't do very often unless it's like a major story. As always, you could follow me everywhere. Social media can follow me. Tomorrow's video is going to be late. It's probably going to be at like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock from the hotel room. Cause like I said, I'm going up to Atlanta. I'm going to OTR's event. I think it was Happy Trucking New Year is what it's called. And that's pretty funny, actually. But so they got a bunch of speakers. I'm going to meet all the people from OTR. I'm super excited about that. And I'm happy I got the invite. Fran said, suing this nasty guy for accusing me of not watching him daily. I know you haven't. And you know what's funny is you can't see my phone, but I've had like three of the regulars that watch this show every single day say, oh crap, Franz is back. Now the show's all over. But it's funny. You're a regular, so it's good. But as always, guys, if you don't already know and you haven't watched my show before, just go to my page, like the page, do whatever, so you see when I make these videos. I try to cover current news. I try to keep politics out of it. I try to keep my opinions as stifled as I can, but I don't actually do a good job, and I usually just vent about the industry and how people suck and brokers suck and carriers suck, and I'm both, or I used to be a carrier, and now I'm still technically a broker, but I complain about the industry left and right. I also, I guess, like to go in depth to try to find dirt on people. So if anyone has a story and you want me to write about it and you want to help independent journalism work really well, then go for it. Also, you don't need to. I don't care, but you can also, you'll find donate buttons on the actual page, the Freybrook Live page. If you like what I do and you want to try to support it so I can one day make sweatshirts and send them out to Mike Timmy, you can go ahead and do that. But I don't care. I make money so I can do it myself eventually, someday. With that said, every single one of you that's listening to this later, I implore you to go to YouTube or no. Well, yeah. First step, go to YouTube, find this video, like it, subscribe it, write a comment, say about how awesome I am. Then go to iTunes or Google Play, whichever one you have. Download my podcast, subscribe, leave me a very, very high ranking, because I went from ranked 38 in business news in the United States to like 100 and something or unranked. And so now I want to be the top ranked freight podcast and second to none, but whatever. Do whatever you got to do. You guys have a fun time. Make sure you stay honest and stay happy in the industry the best that you can. Freight rates are going to come up. We're going to all make a lot of money someday. It's going to be super fun. And I don't mean to laugh at that. I actually mean it, right? I'm trying to find this other song and I lost it. This song is called Unicorn Death Squad. Have fun.